in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 717. I am Lisa Sheps. I am your intrepid host, and I am joined by my equally intrepid co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org on the World Wide Web. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Hold him, Joe. Hold him, Joe. Hold him, Joe, but don't let him go. Hold him, Joe, I say hold him, Joe. Hold him, Joe, but don't let him go. Me donkey want water. Hold him, Joe.
It is Wednesday, April 26, 2023. On the show today, we have Zach Theater and their production of Row. Later on in the show, we'll have Communication by Captivation and their show, Frank's Life. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Lisbon, and Newark, New Jersey. We'll be back.
Holding Joe.
Hold him, Joe.
I know why you played that.
I do too. We're going to talk about it in a little second. But before we talk about it, I'm just going to say hello to you and see
hello.
How you're doing. How's it cooking?
It's cooking.
It's cooking.
There's a lot cooking, and it's cooking.
Okay, good. Me too.
And it's serving up good portions. How about that?
I like that too. Thank you, Kim Simpson, and another wonderful international folk
yes.
bazaar. All Shakespeare, all the time. I don't know if you heard earlier. He played a song, and it was so clever. But part one of the lyric was Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are deadheads.
Yes.
And then there was another. There was a an indigenous performer who did a Shakespearean sonnet. Basically, spoke the sonnet, but behind it was Native American drums and chanting. What a fun!
There's
show.
A lot of really cool music. You know who did a lot of really good stuff is Cleo Lane. If well, you ever want to go down that hole, and John, oh my God, I can't think of his name. But go down the Cleo Lane Shakespeare hole.
Okay.
Really good stuff.
I will. I'm just running to it. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio audience.
We've got
audience.
People in the room.
We got some of my favorite people.
And like, I know.
And we're estrogenistic in the room.
It's a happening.
Phenomenal people all. Amber Quick, welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Jenny Lavery, welcome back.
Thank you.
And newcomer to the show, relative newcomer to Austin, Texas, Nissy Sturgis.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
We're glad Hello. To have you here.
National treasure.
Wow, we've gone that far.
Yeah. Along with, what's his name, who did the National Treasures movie?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, yeah. Yeah,
I've
you know
arrived.
What? That's kind of fantastic. I like where your head was at, Lisa.
Yeah. So that song we played was Harry Belafonte singing "Hold 'Em, Joe"
oh,
from the Broadway show. And I didn't look this up. I should have. The Broadway show, John Murray Anderson's Almanac.
Yeah, I saw the title because I was like, I know it's Harry Belafonte. I could tell by the voice, but then I was like, what show is this from? I don't know this one.
It played in Broadway from December 10th, 1953 to June 26th, 1954. I was barely alive.
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. He was one of my grandfather's favorites, and, you know, the Mabes went to every Broadway show. So I'm going to ask her about this, and she's probably going to give me the whole sonata. She's 99 and likes to tell it all.
There you go. Well,
I'll let you know what the Mabes says.
He performed on Broadway 5 times. That was one. And then in 1955, he did his show. It's called 3 for Tonight by Harry Belafonte. He did a show called Moonbirds, which he produced in 1959. I heard a yes. Does anybody know that show?
I heard it. Okay. I just like the name.
and then, of course, Belafonte at the Palace in 1959. I was alive. Okay, that's the end of the story. And then in 1987...
So Liza tried to be like Belafonte, huh?
I want to be like Belafonte. Yeah. Asinamali in 1987. I have not heard of this show. He produced it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. But, you know, other than that, he passed away at 96 of congestive heart failure. Mm. And boy, I tell you what, I read his... obit in the New York Times.
It's mind-blowing.
And you there's just so much. He was also an incredible activist, mm-hmm. Personal friend of Dr. Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King lived at his house in New York when he was there. Mm-hmm. And then he also did an interesting thing where he quietly maintained an insurance policy on Dr. King's life. Wow. With the King family as beneficiary. And then donated his own money after he was assassinated. Oddly enough, there was a contention. There were some papers later that his offspring contested. They went to court about, and then Harry Belafonte kept those documents that they were saying belonged to them.
Wow.
But
he's a very layered individual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, anytime that there's a celebrity passing for the days following, there's always just all of these images. Everyone's sharing these images from their life and seeing so many pictures of his activism with like. I saw a picture of him with James Baldwin that I just burst into tears as soon as I saw it, because there was just so much power in that one picture. Mm-hmm. And that's one moment of this man's incredible life.
Huge. Mm-hmm.
So he was a huge activist all through his life, and especially around the time of the Civil Rights Act. But he took a lot of grief from both sides. He was a lot of people in the black community said he was privileged because of the fairness of his skin. Mm. He did have, I think his great grandparents were white. Mm-hmm. But he did spend some time on the stage. He wasn't crazy about working on the stage.
No.
but he started the American Negro Theater in Manhattan as a stagehand. And there he met his lifelong friend, somebody named... Sidney Poitier.
Oh,
I don't know who that is.
Who would that be?
Wow. But what a great life. You know, I'd like to say he was universally loved, or for the most part, universally loved. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that wasn't the case early on in all cases. But beautiful voice.
I know.
Beautiful everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be missed, but he led a long and... beautiful life. So we have so much to talk about. Other than we have two more deaths that we're going to talk about, but we're going to backtrack and talk about about Broadway openings, of which we had five.
Yeah.
In the past week. Wait, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, we had 5 Broadway openings in the past week, and we'll go in order, and we're going to go as fast as we can. The first one is Peter Pan Goes Wrong. Mm. Import from
so fun.
Mm-hmm.
So fun,
pond.
So
yes.
fun.
Did you see it?
No, I saw the play that goes wrong, but I love that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm of mixed emotions.
Okay.
I like the play that goes wrong, but I thought after a while it got a little tiresome. Mm. It was like sort of a one joke thing.
You didn't have MPH in it.
No, we didn't.
See?
But that could make a difference. Uh-huh. MPH, Neil Patrick Harris, who is in Peter Pan Goes Wrong.
Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of other great people in the show.
Yeah.
I should just say him. But
Like Matthew Cavendish.
Yes.
Don't know who that is.
Well, he's
but
great
lots
too.
Of Broadway debuts. Bianca Horn, Chris Liask, Ellie Morris all have Broadway debuts in here. So this is directed by Adam Medigio. I read the review. I have the review by Juan Ramirez of Theaterly. And, I didn't say. So the Did They Like It had 13 reviews. 9 were thumbs up. 4 were middle of the road. And
there was
goose
no
egg.
Goose egg, but there was a few...
Yeah, there were some.
But that's okay, because everything—if everyone is everything is every person's cup of tea, then we wouldn't have variety.
So the name of the company that does all these insert word that goes wrong is the Mischief Theatre Company in London. They're playing right now at the Barrymore Theatre. Neil Patrick Harris just got extended; he's going to do another few days.
I saw he added some time.
Uh huh. So this reviewer says, did the shtick get old? It does and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But they had a turntable set designed by Simon Scullion. And then I'm going to read this. Quote, this, is it a kids show? I can't say it's tailored for adults, but my date and I were delighted by the sheer bravado of its joke-a-minute style, innovative design, and committed performances. And the kids around us were howling with laughter, never feeling condescended to, and even being let in on some of the curiously naughty jokes. Who knew going wrong would feel so right? And interesting, that one of the things is said, so usually when you have these star performances like Neil Patrick Harris is stepping in as the ostensive narrator, evidently it's much more involved than like...
Oh yeah, you don't just come out there, do your lines and leave. Like he's there's some moments and some fight choreography and shtick and commedia. I love
there's shtick choreography
and all that good stuff.
Other critics, the New York Daily News, Chris Jones said a great night out for a family audience. Jesse Green of the New York Times said with a game Neil Patrick Harris in a guest role, the jokes and mishaps are still funny, if not quite as magical as the second time around. Jesse Green's just a stick in the mud.
He is very unhappy in life lately.
I think so. Robert Hoffler of The Wrap said, the Goes Wrong franchise continues with lots of stage deaths and injuries to entertain the kids. So that is playing, I think, through June currently at something.
I think it's great. There hasn't been a lot of shows to bring the children to all the time, or collectively as a whole family, or if there have, not even ones where you can check your brain at the door and just enjoy and laugh and not have to be so heavy. True. And I think that's great that there's this option right now for everyone.
The next opening we had was Larissa Fast Horse's The Thanksgiving Play.
Yes.
Which, unfortunately, I had seen The Vortex do, directed by Melissa McKnight, and I thought she did it. Did anybody else see that production?
I
thought she did an amazing job. But this is a play about a well-meaning, ultra-progressive teacher trying to put on a Thanksgiving play, making sure that we atone for the sins of the past, if you will. And it's just, it just goes incredibly long, wrong. But this cast is amazing. Darcy Carden, who I just loved in, and she's also in, or she was in, some sitcom that's just recent.
She's The Good Place. And the League of Their Own series.
Yeah.
The series.
That's what she was in.
I know Darcy from UCB.
You do?
And
oh my
she
God.
Is one of the smartest improvisers I've ever witnessed on stage.
That's fantastic.
No doubt. In The Good
my
Place,
crush
she
knows
was
no end.
Just amazing. And in this show, she got what's the word?
Shout outs.
But for her, like that she was the funniest one. Also, and it was Katie Finneran, Scott Foley, and Chris Sullivan.
Katie Finneran.
On the aggregator site, did they like us? There were 12 reviews. 5 were thumbs up, 4 were in the middle of the road, and 3 were thumbs down. Our friend Jesse Green being one of the thumbs down ones.
Surprise!
This is directed by Jenny Lavery's friend Rachel Chafkin, who to me is the goddess of all goddesses of directing. And she got pretty much thumbs up. And this is a Playwrights Horizons show, who I worked with back in the day when they were just nothing.
It's all you. That's why they are where they are.
It is. It is. It's because I built a set for them in the park one year.
I know. I'm just making sure people here and here know the background story.
Well, we're going to talk about it a little later.
Hard-hitting news,
we're never going to have
Lisa.
Time. We were going to talk about Roundabout, who I also built sets for.
See? Hard-hitting news, people.
And because of that, look where they are. They own 4 Broadway houses. This, you know, the critics were not as kind with this show. Jesse Green's review. He calls Rachel Chafkin's cheerfully cutthroat production as part of second stage theater. So this was all part of the, they got a grant from the Native American Heritage Month Awareness through arts grant to bring in a Native American actor. And they brought in this girl who's Darcy Carden. Carden? Did I just lose her name? Carden. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just lost confidence. She is playing
you,
this. But she's an actor from LA who has no Native American blood in her at all.
Well, that sounds smart.
Part of the play in a way.
So what's interesting on this, and when we saw when I saw the production at the Vortex, there was all these interstitial moments, and I had asked Melissa, I said, were those in the script, or are those stuff you added? She said, they were kind of in the script. And in this case, Rachel Chafkin had made these videos of actual middle school or grammar school Thanksgiving plays, and they had these... and they were just unfortunate.
Wow.
All the old tropes that we remember, but she reproduced them so that the quality was really good. And evidently that's a change from when it was off Broadway.
I love knowing and learning and seeing different changes and how things progress
and evolve.
And the interesting thing about this show, which is, you know, kind of a check your brains at the door show, but it also has a deeper message and satire. And this is where it differs from the play that goes wrong, because like they opened up a day away from each other and people were talking about their commonalities, but they're very different.
Yeah, there's a humor through line.
Yeah, Larissa Fast Horse.
That's not all I see.
Yeah, I love everybody saying Larissa Fast Horse is probably the first indigenous playwright to open on Broadway. We don't really know.
Mm-hmm. With all the record, yeah.
Yeah. So other critics, Broadway News, Brittany Samuel said, Fast Horse's attempt to have her characters bounce between extreme political correctness and overt ignorance results in a muddled theatrical experience that is not quite hilarious, not quite provocative, and quite informative, but has the aftertaste of all three. Yikes. Mm-hmm. Daily Beast, Tim Tiemann, this play written in 2015 and showing its age, given the current events, is a skewering of white liberal pieties. And finally, the Wraps, Robert Hoffman says, Rachel Chafkin's direction is far more concise in the film sequences than in the live sequences. So, yeah, I still want to see it. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to blast through because I think all we're going to have time to do.
One or two things I know you better talk about on
Well,
here.
I don't know that we're going to have time. So here we go. Mm-hmm. Prima Facie, all thumbs up. This is the one person play starring Comer. Jodie Comer. Folks will know from Killing Eve, who is amazing. Of the 14, did they like it? 13 were thumbs up. One was in the middle of the road. There were no thumbs down. Basically, it tells the story of a woman dealing with sexual assault from a lot of different... She plays a lot of different roles. She starts out playing the attorney. I believe it's based on a true story. I don't remember. But she starts out as the British defense attorney, which they call a...
barrister?
A barrister. Thank you.
Did this move over from London?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it got it quickly. Yeah. It was just in London like a couple months ago.
One person show. Easy to produce.
But she's... speaking of easy to produce, not easy to produce, but the sign in Sidney Bluestein's window is in previews now. It opens tomorrow.
Yeah.
2 days of previews. It's getting in before the Tony cutoff. This was directed by Justin Martin. And the interesting...
Sign in Sidney Bluestein's
window? No, I'm sorry. I switched back to Prima Facie. Anyway, it looks amazing. Everybody says she's amazing. So here's the little, this is the quote. Oh, what's interesting, and I took this from Brittany Samuel's review in Broadway News, which was the only of all the critics that were in there, the only female critic, about a woman's issue performed by a woman. And it's like, you know, and there's plenty of opportunities. The New York Times has like three women they could easily call on.
It happens all the time.
Yes, it does. Well, don't chide me. I didn't do it.
No, I'm just...
But let me read this last paragraph. Prima Facie is the kind of theater every artist should have the opportunity to make and every audience have the opportunity to experience. This production is careful with its central crime and combines an evocative performance from its star with artful direction and effective design, all of which culminate in a communal catharsis I felt honored to bear witness to. And though Miller's play is emotionally difficult to withstand at times, I left prima facie feeling better than when I entered.
Wow.
Amazing. All right, I'm going to jump right to the next one because, and this is summer 1976, which is the year I graduated high school. And it tells a story of two people that are getting together. It's like a, it's like one of those backyard dramas. It is from Manhattan Theater Club. It is starring
Jessica Hecton, Laura Linney.
Thank you for coming up with
Daniel
the name
J. Sullivan away. Directing.
Yes, thank you. Okay, well, thanks for being on the show. Laura Collins Hughes of the New York Times, female. Made it a critic's pick. The did they like it? Gave it 9 thumbs up, 3 middle of the road, and 1 thumbs down. Written by David Auburn. John Lee Beatty has a set. Auburn also wrote Proof. Mm-hmm. So
he's the proof man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna let y'all go to offstageonair.com and read the review because we're running out of time. So I'm going to leave that with the openings. Like I said, the sign in Sidney Brustein's window opens tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, and that's Rachel Brosnahan and what's his name? Isaac.
Oscar
Isaac.
Oscar Isaac. Yes.
Who I don't know what he's famous, but I don't know for what.
Yes, you do.
What?
You?
What is it?
He's been at the public.
For so much and, of, yeah. so many different things.
Give me one.
A star?
You saw his face, you'd be like,
yeah. I saw his face today.
Star Wars?
He was on Morning Joe this morning.
Wasn't he Llewyn Davis in Inside Llewyn Davis? Is that the same?
I believe so.
Don't know.
That's not where I knew
okay.
him from.
Well, good. I'm glad everybody else. So I'm going to let you... Oh, let me just very quickly, the other people that we want to... wish a fond farewell in the world. We can't really go into Todd Hames, who took over Roundabout Theater in the 80s and turned it around from what I experienced as, and it was at the time in the mid 80s when I was working there, what is now UCB used to be their second stage. Their main stage was on 23rd and 8th. And it was a Lort house back then. Which, it was the only Lort house in New York at the time. But he passed away. He was 66, I think.
I was
think.
Young. Wow. Yeah. yeah.
And then Barry Humphries, a.k.a. Dame Edna.
I had
never heard his name. And, he was, as I read the obituary, I did not know much about him. He was somewhat of a transphobe.
Oh no!
Yeah, he thought he said that male to female transsexuals are men who mutilated themselves or something like that.
Oh,
so I went,
oh,
did not know that.
Huh.
So of someone who made his fame as a drag queen.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
Yeah,
but that's the only time I've ever seen that. But it was in the New York Times obituary. I have to, unless there's anything specific that you want to jump on real quick here.
I want to talk about this, the Nine concert,
Oh, we do need to talk about that because that's the piece of music we're gonna run to.
Well, it's Maury Edson's brilliant musical Nine. I mean,
well, I know, and I know how you feel about it.
Originally produced in 1984 with Raul Julia, and then produced again in 2002 with the Antonio Banderas, who I was like, why?
Yeah.
No, why? And he came out with a full thick Spanish accent. And I'm like, you are not Italian. And then he opened his mouth and I was like, oh my gosh. He was so good.
Anyway,
but
this is
Santino. And I don't know how I feel
Santino
about that.
Santino Fontana. I think he'll be good.
He's not my jam. And this is my jam.
I know it is. So this is part of the Transport Group. It's going to be performed June 26th at Mercury
Hall.
Yes,
I could go. It's the day after my birthday.
It's going to have the original 25-piece orchestration.
That's what's brilliant.
By Jonathan Tunick. And that's it. So, yeah, we do need to talk about that.
So I just wonder if they're going to have Lillian LaFleur as a woman or as a man because the script is written two ways and then it takes out Grand Canal or not. I don't know. There's a lot of things that could happen with this.
Well, you'll have to go and see it in June. Additional casting and featured guests will be announced later.
Yeah.
So that's it. And there's a picture of Raul Julia here.
Oh,
I don't think I knew who he was before this.
There's that. The I Am Raul on PBS is one of the greatest documentaries ever. And you get to watch him and Meryl Streep doing
the
Shakespeare
kiss me,
in
kiss
the park.
Me, Petruchio.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow. It's brilliant.
Yes.
He died way too young. God, I miss that man.
You are feeling very passionate today about so many things.
He's one like Prince. I know, just every day. I'm like, why? I don't know why some people affect you that way, but George Michael, well, Prince, and Raul.
Let's listen to some folks from the revival of Nine with Laura Benanti and Jane Krakowski.
Yes, Mary Stuart Masterson was in.
All are the ways of love.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Cheetah Rivera was in that.
Oh my gosh. Cheetah. Stop.
Cheetah.
I have lost control. I have lost control.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's like a buzzword.
I know this about you. And that's why I did it. You wouldn't have forgave me. You wouldn't let me get away with not doing
it. 26 minutes in, though, and I didn't mention the Grove. So that's
okay.
It.
Well, that's good because there's nothing to talk about.
I know, but I'm just saying.
All right. So let's switch gears and talk about this little play that's happening at Zach Theater.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
Yep. On the big stage, on the top first stage, directed by our very own Jenny Lavery.
Yes.
So proud of you. When I first heard that you were doing this ages ago, I was so super proud. And so welcome, Jenny Lavery.
Thank you.
And starring two of my favorite people, because in one I just met.
Yeah, we just
favorite.
Amber Quick, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Nissy Sturgis.
I love being here. I've learned so much already.
Hello.
Lovely. So this is the story, Roe is a story of Roe v. Wade and the trial that ensued and some of the stuff that happened afterwards. And this was all written prior to the Dobbs decision, was it not?
The script was. It was written, it first premiered in 2016, but I have been in constant contact with Lisa Loomer over the last...
The playwright.
Over the last few years, and Lisa has been very focused on this Austin production in specific because this is Sarah Weddington's hometown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
Who was Sarah Weddington?
Sarah Weddington was the lawyer who argued the case in 1973 right. at the age of 26.
And one.
Amazing. Isn't that bananas?
And 71.
And won successfully
and won.
Argued.
Yeah. So yes, it was written before everything happened and transpired in the last couple of years, but rewrites have been ongoing, and so there's been tweaks to the script, and the prologue and the epilogue have had heavy changes, and even through our previews, Lisa really wanted to write something that would feel good to the people in Austin, to our audiences, and to Texans, and so we were trying out several different endings, and by opening night, we landed on one that we're really proud about and happy about. So
that is,
it's been a constant
rewriting
process. Such an amazing process. My question is, when this play goes in other places, will she share this newer version of the script like she did when the epilogue was written after?
I think so. I think that version will track. I mean, there are some very Texas specific things that she may not
play for a wider audience.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I think it'll be an option that's out there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Amber and Nissa, Nissy.
I'll live.
You got it.
Nissy, you got it.
Did it.
Cool. I'm having a little miniature heart attack here. y'all play Woman 1 and Woman 2.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I'm guessing are
Norma
pseudonyms
and Sarah.
For Norma and Sarah.
Yeah.
And Norman McCorvey is Jane Doe.
Jane Roe. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Jane Doe was taken.
Jane Doe was taken.
Yeah. No, I love that Lisa has embraced, Lisa Loomer, the playwright, has embraced that theatricality of distancing just a bit of, you could say you're playing Sarah Weddington or Norma McCorvey and receive all that outside pressure and sort of obligation, but to distance it in this way and say woman, woman, Woman One and Woman Two, mm-hmm. there's it allows you to have a perspective about it and embrace this theatricality that she's built into the script that allows for such point of view and humor and the pace of the piece. Really amazing.
So mm-hmm. in the show, we never actually hear the
oh no, I introduce myself yeah, when I come out.
Yeah. It's the first line.
It's yeah.
it's yeah. the first line. Okay, yes. So we do.
Yeah. Yes, all but right, woman I think one. For the actor's perspective, like, you know, you can hold that idea lightly because it's such a responsibility to walk out with that story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have y'all, so the show has already been playing for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. This is you're in your wow. final weekend.
Wow. We are.
Have you, so as you mentioned, Sarah Weddington lived here in Austin, mm-hmm. As did a lot of those Yellow Dog Democrats.
That's
of
right.
The day. Mm-hmm. And has anybody that knew Sarah come up and spoken to you after the show?
Many.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you, what are some of the things that you've heard?
Oh, gosh. Well, I feel like the response has been so warm and grateful mm-hmm. that, it's been incredible. The Weddington Foundation was so excited about the production. They had us out to the Weddington Foundation to just do a little reception cast party us.
I should check my mail. I never received an invitation.
I bet it's in your spam folder.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. But no, the first night, you know, I think we were fully prepared to meet people after the show that knew Sarah and you know, but the first first preview, I met a lady that had spent 2 days with Norma and her partner Connie.
Oh wow!
Filming them for a documentary that never came to life.
Okay.
And so that was I burst into tears. I was like, thank you so much. You have no idea what you've mm-hmm. just given me. You know.
Yeah.
But there have been so many people, like including yourself, that have shared space with Sarah Weddington, and so it's just been, I mean, I think Nissi can speak more to
so much of the story happened in Texas. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to intersect in all these different aspects. Isn't Norma's family close by too?
Norma's family is close by. Henry Wade's family joined us last weekend.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I remember you saying that.
Yeah. And there are folks who have outed themselves and said, I clerked for Harry Blackmun, and mm-hmm. who are still in the legislature today. There was a wonderful woman who was like, I have worked alongside Sarah Weddington for years. Folks are just like, I think a lot of parts of the script, because it's so kaleidoscopic.
Mm-hmm. That's a great word.
Are able to see themselves in all of these different places. The consciousness raising group, folks have come up and said, I did that in the 70s. This was like ripped from my living room. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of keyholes into the story.
So, and of course, so topical now and so important now, and especially for the next year and a half at the very least. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I want to say something corny, like y'all are part of history right now because theatrical history. I mean, it's
artivism. I get to use my word today. Yes. This is one of those artivism moments when we have theater and performance that we need that really captures both sides of the story and causes conversation.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And right. This is that jam, and that jam is my jam.
Compassionately and with courage and
humor.
Again, and humor. That's the thing that just, it blows me away about this play, is that you think you're going to go in and learn some about this history and these women, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a slog. And from the jump, this tug of war between them is such a delight.
Mm-hmm.
So indeed, this is not what someone might call a radically pro-abortion piece of theater. This actually talks about both sides of the argument.
Absolutely.
And you know, there's the controversy, you know, afterwards when she sort of became an anti-abortion advocate.
You're talking about Norma.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, and also another thing that happened pre Dobbs decision, but you know, post script publishing.
Yes.
Pre-Dobbs.
Yeah.
Norma's deathbed confession that,
right,
that she, it was all that she was just following the paycheck.
Right.
And
yep.
saying,
she was paid to do that.
She never believed it.
From the right to life.
Mm-hmm. Survival's real.
Yeah.
And then we lost Sarah in December of 2021.
Yep.
So it's, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I appreciate most about the script is that it's you see the full complexity of these human beings, that it's that they're both messy, they're both mm-hmm. they're both trying to figure it out, they're both doing what they think they need to do, mm-hmm. And I think that also allows us to hopefully be able to see ourselves in the story, be able to identify with aspects of Norma, aspects of Sarah, mm-hmm. and be able to ask ourselves like where do we want to go next, right?
Yep.
Because now it's on us. It's personal.
Yes.
The stakes are high. It's on
us.
So we just have a minute or so left, but the show itself is what I should say now, I'm coming to see it tonight. So I'm very, very excited. And I really know nothing about it. Am I expecting like a courtroom drama, or is it a behind the scenes drama, or is it a series of monologues? What can I expect?
I keep saying that this show hustles like a musical.
Mm. Yes.
From the second it starts, it is just firing from every direction. And so I think you will be surprised. I think whatever you're expecting it to be, it's not that.
It's what everybody has said to me.
Every time you think you know what it is, mm-hmm. it'll take a left turn and it'll surprise you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Can
it's
we,
really
can
fun.
We, can it start early? Can we go now?
Let's just go now.
Well,
we'll be quick. Call the cast.
That is great. And as we mentioned before, y'all have already played for 3 weeks. This is the last weekend for folks to catch it, right?
Yes.
Where can folks go to get information about the show?
ZACTheater.org.
Yeah.
With an R-E.
That's the right way.
I know.
We don't have
we
to say that
to our
audience. We
just let people know when it's the incorrect way.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have y'all on the show.
Thank you.
And I am so looking forward to seeing the two of you tonight on stage. Will you be at the theater, Jenny?
I actually will be there afterwards.
Okay.
Well, say hi.
I might.
Good.
I will say this. I am the type of person that's scooters off.
She is a
as soon as the curtain comes down. So
two-stepper.
Gotta beat that traffic.
But she's not one act Annie, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No. Have been though. Well, thanks again for being on the show.
I wish you
all the goodwill in the world for your final weekend.
Thank
I know it's going to be great.
Yes, thank you all very much
for coming in.
That was Jenny Lavery, Nissy Sturgis, and Amber Quick of ZACT Theater's production of Row, playing now through the end of this weekend. For more information, you may visit ZACTheater.org. This song may not be appropriate for this, but it's just what I did. It's a song called Row, Row, Row from Oh, What a Lovely War.
Whoa!
We'll be right back.
Row, row, row.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. So we're gonna do our local section as quickly as we can.
Tell people about the stuff happening.
Yep. I do want to say that Out of Ink is this weekend and next weekend. That's the Script Works show. And hopefully I printed out this little thing. Let me just see. Oh, I did. Yay.
I was like, I thought I saw it in there.
So Script Works is, it starts out as part of their salon when the playwrights just go off into they're given three things that have to happen in a script, and they go and they make a 10-minute play out of it. And the ingredients this year are, one, an odd family tradition. Two, a character becomes something non-human over the course of the play.
Yeah.
And
I like all
that's
these.
Where my page stops.
Well, I like what you said so far. I like. I'm intrigued.
Wow. Anyway, the page stopped right there. I printed it out with a printer. Anyway, there's two of the three ingredients. No, it doesn't say. Anyway, so they're always good, and I've heard people that have seen these shows, and I'm told that they are universally hilarious. Which typically with these, you get some serious and some funny, but this is all, they're all comedies evidently this year.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. All right.
You know what, though? I think everyone wants a little laugh.
Out of Ink. You can get information at scriptworks.org or nowplayingaustin.com or atxtheater.org. There are so many choices.
There are so many choices. So many places.
So again, it's this weekend and next. I believe they are at Hyde Park Theater.
I think you're right from what I remember.
Things that are playing, if my list is correct, The Winter's Tale by the Barons Men out at Richard Garriott's Curtain.
What a special place.
Plays through the 29th. We already talked about Row at Zach, plays through this weekend. Mother the Maid, Jarrett Productions over at Ground Floor Theater, plays till the 6th of May. Indecent at Austin Playhouse, which I'm hoping to go see this weekend.
Let me know, because that's when I'm trying to go this weekend too.
Amazing.
Let's go together.
The reviews were good. The Chronicle review is excellent.
Fantastic, yeah.
It plays from now to the 14th. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to them in just a moment. Frank's Life, Communication by Captivation, plays the 28th through the 30th of this month. Over the Vortex, Misadventure. I should say, as I passed the Vortex today on my way here, they have a new sign.
Oh my goodness, I noticed that too, and I was alone in my car getting excited. I know.
I'm jealous.
I like that we had those moments, though.
Yep, I am jealous.
Me too.
And I loved Indecent so much, it's in here twice.
There you go.
And then City Theater is doing the musical comedy Murders of 1940.
Dun, 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 dun.
It plays from the 28th through May 14th. Dun, 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 dun. What did I miss? You always catch me with things that I miss.
No, I think I'm on the same page right now.
Excellent. I like being on the same page.
Yeah.
Let's jump into Today in Theater History, shall we?
Today in Theater History.
So I pull this stuff from the vault at Playbill, and usually there's only two pages of stuff.
Today they were like, lady, a lot of stuff happened.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of stuff happened. So here were the openings. One opening that's happening tonight is New York, New York, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, it's so funny. I just put in for house seat requests and was looking for tickets for that.
So are you going to New York? To go for your mom? Yeah. Oh, lovely.
No, for my mom and I to
go. Got it. 2 years ago, A Strange Loop opened on this date.
Really? 2 years?
2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, 2022 is last
year.
That's
last year. Never mind. Last year.
Okay.
But it's already, the rights are already out.
People are booking it. Yeah.
In 1970, Company opened.
La Originelle.
La Originelle. And then in 1967, Hallelujah Baby with Leslie Uggams and Alan Weeks.
Leslie Uggams.
1992, Jelly's Last Jam.
Ooh, that's some Gregory Hines.
Your Girl, Liza, opened in The Life in 1997.
Liza. This was a good day of stuff.
Mm-hmm, with a top ticket price of $25.
I was like, $25.
Yep, we were all mad.
Stop the presses.
And then, I'm sorry. I was just talking about the act. This is The Life.
Okay, The Act was $25.
That was the one I was talking about, The Life opened in 97.
That was Martin Scorsese's one and only time directing.
There you go.
They were all on coke
then. In 2004, the revival of Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun.
Yes.
So, and then tomorrow, Lorraine Hansberry's The Sign in Sidney Brewstein's Window is opening.
Go Lorraine Hansberry.
2010, the revival of Fences.
Oh, isn't that the one with Denzel?
Denzel. Mm-hmm. 2012, Leap of Faith. I should say this is all happening around Tony nomination cutoff dates.
Yeah,
and that's why this is
happening. I was just realizing, wait, this is all cutoff dates. Leap of Faith. And, who was in that? That was the tent revival.
Steve Martin was in the movie.
Yeah, I know, but...
Can't remember. I don't remember.
Oh, it was someone good.
You'll come up with it at the St. James Theater. Bandstand opened in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
Not one of my favorites.
No, that was with Laura Osnos and the other dude. Mm-hmm. Didn't Andy Blanken, what's his name, do the choreography?
Blankenbuehler?
Yes,
I think
he did the choreography for that.
And in 2018, the revival of The Iceman Cometh with, what's his name?
18? It was Philip.
No. You're thinking of...
Oh, we're thinking of Death of a Salesman.
You're thinking of Death of a Salesman. I'll come up with it. So those are a lot of openings. Birthdays, Anita Luce.
That's a great name.
Yeah, 1888.
Great.
She's up there.
Name.
Paloma Garcia Lee.
Another great name.
Who I don't know.
I don't know.
And today I was watching
what
the
year
Today
was Paloma?
Show. doesn't have a date on it. And I was watching the Today Show. I just popped in, and they're doing a retrospective of Carol Burnett, and I started to freak out. Did Carol Burnett die?
I know they keep doing that. No,
she's
just
90.
It's
her birthday.
But there isn't going to be like a big special and show and everything.
Yes,
so it's all PR
on.
For that. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So that's today in theater history. And so we're going to take a little break, and we're going to hear a little bit from Hallelujah Baby with Leslie Uggams and Alan Weeks. Alan Weeks, I should say, was in Oh Brother, the show that I did.
Papa Pope.
Lovely man. He played Papa Pope's, because it was Comedy of Errors. So it was Alan Weeks oh my God, Papa Pope. What's his name?
I was about to say, I always call him Papa Pope.
Anyway,
you call him by his real name.
Joe Morton.
Thank you.
They played the two twins, one of the two twins.
So he was even in cahoots with Papa Pope.
They were, it's Musada and Hadim.
I
was all
really
set in the
wish
Middle
I
East.
Could have my hands on this script of Oh Brother.
Yeah, well, I have a copy. I can let you do it. Anyway, so let's listen to a little bit of Hallelujah Baby. And we'll be right back with our next guest.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello, hello, hello.
We are streaming this live at our dynamite website, koop.org.
Yes.
That's the end of that story.
We just stream. Well, I mean, if you don't have the website on, though, then you're listening on 91.7 FM.
Yeah. Or you're right
or
here
you're
in this
right
room.
Here in this room.
Yep. Speaking of people right here in this room, let's introduce the folk from Frank's Life. Don't tell me. That's Frank's Life. Yes.
It is.
Yay,
that was right.
That
was right. That was right.
Because I wrote something different. So we have here Avery Klein. Welcome.
Hello.
We have Darren Husk.
Howdy.
Welcome. And Jeff Lyons.
Hello.
And none of the three of you have been on this show before, have you?
First time.
No, we have not. First time.
Okay, well, good. Well, thanks for being on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for having us.
So y'all are performing in a company, Communication by Captivation, which is, this is their inaugural show.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting.
And it's Frank's Life, which is, somebody tell us what this show is about.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, you do it.
So it's basically the Truman Show, but written in play form. And in fact, the guy who wrote Frank's Life actually sued the creators of the Truman Show because they created the Truman Show after Frank's Life was written. And like,
unauthorized borrowing.
Something like that, yeah. And it
did
was
they
just,
win?
It is unknown.
So, okay.
It
was
probably
never
one of those
closed.
Settled
it was,
out of court.
Similar concept is the point.
Quiet,
they
yeah.
didn't care too much about it. It's about a guy named Frank, and his whole family is acting around him and trying to hide the fact that he's on his own TV show. And
then the network gets a huge budget cut, and all the actors start bailing on poor Frank.
And they have
poor
to explain
Frank.
It away
with
suspicious deaths.
Can you share just like, I mean, I don't want to give a lot away, but what's can you share one of the ways they explain their disappearance? One of the characters?
Yeah, one
a lot
of the
of
characters early in the show, he has a heart attack. One of the early
a
characters.
A car attack?
A heart attack.
Oh, a heart attack.
Excuse me. And then I was going to say that somebody else, they got ran over by a truck.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That
very
happened
creative.
To me once.
Somebody
demise.
Gets stabbed in the alley.
Yikes.
Demise of people. Yeah.
By the way, do y'all know the best thing to take when you're run down?
No.
What?
The
Lisa?
License plate of the truck that hit you.
Ah!
That's a dad joke.
I love it.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I do have to admit, and I don't know if anybody else thought this, when I was younger, I actually thought that I truly thought that when I was like in the car, there was somebody rolling one of those paper backdrops next to the car and that my parents were actors.
Oh,
I really thought that.
For real?
Yes.
Oh, I kind of
I thought
that.
I was, well, I fantasized about it. I wouldn't say that I believed
I think we've
it.
All felt like we've
yeah,
been
we
in
the
Truman Show
like,
or Frank's Life at some point.
I still do, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
This is a simulation. Don't prove me.
The
don't
older I get,
me,
the
otherwise.
More I'm like, come on now.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. When was this show written then?
In the early 90s.
I was like 90s, I think.
Yeah. That would make sense.
I think. 92, 93.
Well, that's great. And does it, where, what's the locale, of, what's this, where are you in the set? What's the locale of the piece?
Takes place in New York City. I think that
in a house, in a bar, in a restaurant.
It's similar to a sitcom sort of format.
Okay.
You know, like a very Laugh Jerry track. Seinfeld type of set. You know, the front door, the friend bursts in. The bar is downstairs that they're always hanging out at. So it's very much just like an apartment, New York City apartment setting. And, you know, most of it is Frank and his best friend having beers at the bar. And, you know, his mom and his sister come to visit around Christmas time. They're doing all the touristy type of stuff while... you know, the people that are playing actors are, you know, kind of renegotiating their roles on the show in the background, unbeknownst to poor Frank.
So, Avery, you play Joy.
I do.
His girlfriend.
No, his sister.
Sister.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Well, that'd be a whole different story.
No. Frank's life would be a different kind of life.
So you play his sister. So you've been playing this role for a long since you were a child.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the director and I figured out she's pretty much been here since she's like 3 years old.
Okay.
So the point of my character sort of is she's very... mentally not okay because like she's a child actor, and so it's like she's trying to differentiate but the reality and the show, and sometimes her acting turns into her actual character and vice versa, and sometimes she occasionally like lets a word or two slip that lets Frank know like, why would she say that? That's kind of funky.
Something's not quite right.
Something's not right. So it's interesting. As actors, you know, we often play. We come up with a not often. We should be coming up with a backstory for our character. So I'm interested if your characters Joy and Corey.
Corley.
Can you change it to Corey? I think
remember. That would be more common.
But Joy and Corley, did you as actors come up with a backstory, and like, does Joy have a family?
It's like a backstory of a backstory.
Yeah. Do
really?
You go home to a husband and kids somewhere, or do you have a wife and kids?
Sure.
What
yeah.
kind of backstory did y'all play for
so
yourself?
So Corley, actually, there's another character called Stace. So he's got a wife on the show, and you know, some of the scenes reveal, you know, they're not necessarily married.
There were air quotes in the room just then.
Right. They're not married off duty in the happy sense, mm-hmm. but they have to be happily married when they're on scene in front of Frank and things like that. I like to imagine that Corley Phillips, he plays the best friend of Frank. Frank is kind of an everyman, and Corley Phillips is kind of like the cool best friend, the comedic relief. And, you know, I can't imagine that, you know, in real life that, you know, these two guys would be actual best friends. You know, it's an actor portraying his best friend. I like to imagine that, you know, sometimes, you know, the actors in Frank's life, sometimes they go on vacation and they do movies, and other projects, you know, they just explain their absence for a couple of weeks. So I think that Corley Phillips is, you know, more of a Matthew McConaughey or a Woody Harrelson type of character. You know, he goes back to Hollywood and does a movie during the summertime every once in a while, maybe an action movie or something like that.
Amazing. So, Darren, tell us more about Frank. I mean,
Frank.
That's kind of boring. Tell us about
Frank.
Him.
Well, yeah, I think Frank is very interesting because you need to create a character that you understand why it was on the show for 30 years. You also need to create a character that you kind of understand why the ratings are kind of getting lower. There's a lot of things that Frank needs to be to make this world more realized. I really like playing him. I know some people don't like playing the straight man, air quotes, but I think that's always a very interesting role because there can be a lot of humor and there's a lot of things that you can play off the other person that I find very interesting.
The Texas legislature likes to play the straight man a lot. Well, we just have a few more minutes. This show
you're
is
on fuego today. You thought I was on fuego, but I think you are.
This show is just one weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That is correct.
That's this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Dun, 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 dun. At Trinity Street Theater.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. How's it all going? Are y'all excited about opening?
Yeah, we're super excited.
Yeah, we're super excited. Cool. It's going well.
I know that John Rogers, who is the director and the founder of the theater company, had to cancel last minute because y'all are in the middle of tech and he had work to do.
Yeah.
Right. He's very dedicated.
Well, great. Well, thank you.
I love it. It's exciting.
Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
You can check out Communication by Captivation on Facebook or Instagram.
Yep.
And all the information's up there, including a really great trailer we made.
Wonderful. Oh, I did not see that, but I'm going
to
look for it.
Yeah, it's like the introduction to the show, like, you know, 90s sitcom, similar to that.
Looking forward to seeing that. Well, thank y'all for being on the show.
Thank you.
That was Jeff Lyons, Darren Husk, and Avery Klein of Communication by Captivation's Frank's Place. No, Life. Frank's Life. plays the 28th through the 30th at Trinity Street Theater. For more information, go find them on Facebook or Instagram. Find Communication by Captivation on
either of those.
Either of those things. And I had to play the song because I love it.
Yeah, you did. It's a great song.
Here it is. I met a boy called... We are back.
We are back. I love there's new peeps in the room, new peeps making shows, making art. That's fantastical.
I know. And we're completely out of time. We just have time to say goodbye. I'm not going to be here next week. You're on your own. Hopefully Tracy Schultz will be here with you.
I hope so.
We haven't heard back from him yet, but we will. We will have a problem if he doesn't. Austin... A Common Radio Hour is next with my dear friend, John Hoffner. And then I'm going to play this song.
Toast to you, shall we clink? There is ample wine to drink. Come gather one and all and don't be shy. Glasses high, spirits up. Everybody gets a cup. The sparkling waterfall will not run dry. Not for me, not for you.